Blog Talk Radio.
Almost live from somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee. Regime Entertainment presents It's Not Me, It's You, the show where the good, the bad, and the ugly of relationships are discussed from both genders' point of view. And now, here's your host, John.
Hey guys, good evening. It is Thursday night in Nashville, Tennessee, and greetings to you from wherever you are. And I hope you are having a great week. Appreciate you listening, and we're going to have a really good good show tonight. I'm rocking solo tonight, so we might just be doing about a half an hour or so, so hopefully that doesn't take up too much of your time. To get us started tonight is one of our old favorite songs we have here on It's Not Me, It's You. It's Hey Hey Love by Mark Lonsway, written by Mark and Ms. Lorna Flowers. May she rest in peace. Hey Hey Love.
Spend so much time hiding. Now I wanna catch the sun. I wanna catch the sun. If we could touch the silver lining and see what we become.
Hey Hey Love, sung by Mark Lonsway, a good friend, and written by the late Lorna Flowers and Mark Lonsway. So, well, welcome to the show tonight. We're going to do a little preventive maintenance tonight. I kind of feel that's the way the direction this is going. We're going to talk a little bit about some warning signs. The title of the show tonight is Warning Signs, on how to recognize that there might be a problem and your relationship might be actually be coming to an end. And then we're going to share some habits that tend to sabotage our happiness. So the two are kind of going together. May sound like a downer, but we'll try to make it positive, and because we're all about trying to just help people out with their relationships, and that's what we're going to try and do tonight. So first place we're going to start is, you know, some signs that a breakup might be on the way. Now, we've all gone through it. We'll all probably go through it again, whether it's a breakup with a spouse or a significant other of some sort, or even a breakup from work, you know, a friend, any kind of a breakup, any kind of a end to a relationship, you know, can be traumatic. And if you can prepare yourself ahead of time for inevitably what might happen, should you see these signs, I think that's a helpful thing. And, you know, prepare ourselves emotionally, prepare ourselves mentally for what, you know, could happen. Obviously, until that string is cut or the tie is broken, you know, you want to hold out hope if you want it if you want the relationship to last, that it will last. But here's some signs that, you know, that breakup might be coming. And most of these will pertain to relationships, but, you know, some can also pertain to friendships. And there's always, you know, the possibility that, you know, friendships do end. And even the longest lasting ones, you've heard me say many, many times that, you know, over the course of our life, you know, you will know and stay friends with less than five people for half your life. So, you know, cut your age in half, determine how many people outside of your family you're still friends with for that number, half your life. And you'll see what we're talking about. And it is true, and it is something that happens. People move on. And that's kind of the way you have to look at it. So the first sign that a breakup or an end of a relationship might be coming was that the communication falls off. I mean, as we know, when we start relationships, you are texting and you're talking and you're, you know, communicating constantly because you're getting to know that person. You're enjoying being around that person. But, you know, the little text messages in the middle of the day might drop off, and text messages in general might become non-existent. And that shows that the interest seems to be waning. Notes on the mirror, little sweet things that he or she would do for, you know, for the other person, just dwindle and stop happening. Even speaking to each other. I've had relationships where the mere sound of the person's voice made me want to just, you know, I don't know what the proper term is, verb-wise, but just, you know, it's like, you know, nails on a chalkboard. You just couldn't stand to hear that person's voice. So you stop talking. And when the communication falls off, you really don't have a whole lot else to fall back on. The next sign is that there seems to be more conflict than usual. Disagreements over really petty little things become more and more, you know, more and more glaring and more happening more and more, is what I'm trying to say. They escalate more quickly than they used to into a full-out fight. It's never fun, but when you escalate an argument, especially over something stupid and petty, like, you know, feeding the dog or, you know, something having to do with parenting perhaps, or, you know, the pillow on the couch is crooked. I mean, just stupid things like that. That turns into a fight, then you have some problems. You know, what used to be minor disagreements turn into a major, major fight, major, major battle. Then there are issues that, you know, that could be a problem. On the flip side of that, the next sign that a breakup might be coming is that your partner or yourself don't even care to fight anymore. You don't even care to weigh in with your opinion. You don't even care. It happens more with women than it does with men. But if you're finding that you just don't seem to care anymore about fighting or standing up for yourself or standing up for the other person or your rights or, you know, whether you're right or wrong, then, you know, then that's a problem, and there could be some issues with the relationship. The next item is when you get some new life goals, okay? You find your partner is, you know, wants to go to med school, or they want to change careers, and it doesn't necessarily include you. That means that there is a, you know, they're completely taking a 180-degree turn over the direction y'all were going in, and they're not letting you know that they're making that turn. They're not letting you know that it's going to happen and where it's going to happen and whether or not you're going to be involved in it happening. We all want to offer support. We all want to offer, you know, our significant other the the moral support and even some cases financial support to go on that career change or that new life goal. Well, sometimes they don't want you in it. It's a turnaround of a, you know, a turning over of a new leaf, as they say. So, you know, sudden interest in a new plan that requires them maybe to, you know, like I said, move to another city or move to another location doesn't include you. Uh-oh, we got a problem. They're finding new interests in general that don't include you. You know, maybe they're taking up kayaking, or maybe they're taking up, you know, art or something, and they don't include you in it. That's usually a really, really bad sign. Acting out is another sign about potentially a breakup coming. And that, again, comes from lack of caring. But the complete opposite, where they no longer care to fight, now they're acting out and lashing out more and more because they don't care. Actually subconsciously trying to sabotage the relationship by, you know, doing something, you know, acting out in some way, hoping that you will leave them so they don't have to leave you. Nobody likes to be the, you know, the breaker-upper. Or, you know, nobody likes to bring the breaker-uppy either, but if it's easier to have the other person break up with you if you want to break up with them. Hope that makes sense. But it is something that is, you know, is inevitable ultimately when that starts happening. So to combat that, you want to maybe have a conversation. If you see they're uncharacteristically cranky or being cruel for no reason, that's not their character, not their trait. They're not really being themselves. So you want to just have that discussion and maybe figure out what the hell's going on. I speak from experience when I say I would rather know what's going on in the other person's mind and be potentially hurt from it than not know at all and just have it, you know, just be ignored or just not be, you know, no calls returned, no text messages returned because there's something that happened that didn't know about. You know, I had no idea that it happened, but just cut off altogether. I'd much rather hear it than feel it, I guess is the best way to put it. Another method, or another sign, I should say, is that all of a sudden they're taking a lot of overtime. They're working a lot more than they ever did before. It's to the point where they don't even want to come home, or they don't want to go out with you, or they don't want to see you, so they're going to take overtime. They're going to work more late nights at the office. That doesn't mean they're having an affair or anything like that. It just means they'd rather be at work than be with you, and that's a problem. A lot of people will, you know, distance themselves from a relationship by throwing themselves into work because they know the breakup's coming. When the breakup's coming, there's the mourning period. The mourning period is best dealt with by launching yourself into something else, and usually work is the best thing to do that with. They have a sudden renewed interest in their appearance, which is interesting because, you know, I mean, I'm of the mind that just because I have somebody or I'm dating somebody that, you know, I need to let my appearance go. No, you need to stay attractive for that person because, you know, they're attracted to you for a reason. And if you let yourself go and stop bathing and stop shaving and stop washing your hair and, you know, and eating all the time and gaining a lot of weight, they may not be the same person. But if that happens and then they start regaining their appearance or regaining an interest in their appearance, that could be a sign that they are looking to, you know, get back out there in the dating pool. They become aware of their appearance to the opposite sex for obvious reasons, because there. They need to be attracted to more people. They want to get that back out there, but that doesn't bode well for the poor guy or girl that is, you know, is going to be left behind. So a normal sign or telltale sign of this is when the person does not seem to be interested in including you in their fitness activity. So walking or going to the gym or running or biking or, again, back to kayaking or anything, swimming, anything like that, doesn't include you. They're working on their own pace to get a, you know, to get in better shape without you. Bad sign. And then you have the nagging feeling that there's just something not right. We all have intuition. We all have, you know, the thought that maybe it's just something is amiss. Something is not working the way it used to. You know, use your intuition, use your gut feeling. If you have a feeling that something's not right, you're probably right. Most of the time our gut feelings are right. You know, honor those feelings and have a conversation. We get back to the communication all the time. Even if, you know, in the very first sign that we talked about, communication falls off, well, jump back on it and find out what the hell is going on. You can do this in a non-accusatory fashion. Ask them, you know, hey, are you still happy in our relationship? Are you still, you know, what is there something wrong? Is there something I can do to help it out? And then have that conversation, and hopefully they're upfront and honest with you. The last thing, really telltale sign that a breakup might be coming is that you, as the partner, feel a little clingier than usual. It does coincide with that intuition, that bad feeling. You want to stay closer to them. You want to, you know, keep an eye on them, if you will. You want to get more involved in their life. But when one person is pulling away, the other partner tends to get into a mode where they're questioning motives, and it sets off a push and pull cycle. Okay, so you know, if I'm dating somebody and she's backing away, I'm actually reaching out more and trying to get more information till I know for sure that things are not right, things are over. And it comes across as being somewhat clingy and desperate, unfortunately. So even though, you know, you might subconsciously be trying to gather information and just understand where you are at this point. You know, if you've been dating somebody 4, 5, 6 times, whatever, you know, you have the right to know, are you done? Because it'd be nice to know if you are or not, so that we can all move on and have a little closure and move on with things. So, you know, it is dangerous because it can freak the other person out. It can get, you know, a little quote-unquote clingy, as we said. That can actually drive the other person away even faster. And if there's not a problem and your intuition is wrong, it will drive them away. So be cognizant of that. Be understanding to the plight of others. And hopefully you can, you know, get it straightened out. But I think the key word here, the common theme that we're talking about is communication. So use that. Use those words. I mean, we were raised in talking. And I was having a conversation with somebody about this last night that, you know, we need to get back to the old-fashioned way of actually picking up the phone and calling somebody. Not Facebooking, not text messaging, but pick up the phone and call. And if the other person has a problem answering the phone and talking to you, then you probably don't want to be with them anyway if you're the opposite. So give the opportunity to actually, you know, hear the inflection in your voice, hear the tone, hear the words, and interpret them more accurately than you could if you were texting or instant messaging. So here are some habits that actually will sabotage, you know, the good of everything. So, and they're very simple, and they all start, ironically, with the letter C. And it's a good, you know, good, the five C's of sabotage, as it were. But the first one is comparing. If you're always comparing yourself to other people, that will be a recipe for disaster. If you want to compare yourself to anybody, compare yourself to yourself or to perhaps a mentor or a hero or somebody that you look up to, you know, your dad or your mom, maybe a brother or a family member, somebody like that. don't compare yourself to other people because everybody's situation is different. If you continue to compare yourself to other people who are in a different boat, a different situation than you are, inevitably someone's going to lose. And most likely, if you're the one doing comparing, it's going to be you. Now, if you have a strong faith, you want to focus on God and what God is doing in your life, that's ideal. You want to do that because it will keep you from comparing yourself to other people. You just want to please whoever you want to please, including your God, if that's what you want to do. There's always going to be somebody smarter, better looking, richer, more successful, with more friends than you. Always. You don't have to look real hard either. And that's not a slam on anybody, but I know there are people out there that are better looking than me, have more money than me, have a better radio show than me, have, more friends than me, have more women than me, whatever the case may be. But I don't let it bother me because I'm not trying to live up to their standards. I'm trying to live up to mine. So again, comparing is the first habit that will sabotage your life. The second C after comparing is complaining. Happy people don't complain. Okay? It's a fine line between stating facts and sounding complaining and whiny and boo-hoo-y about everything. No matter what is going on in your life, if you're happy, you don't complain. Now, how you vent your unhappiness is up to you. Whether you do that with your significant other or, your therapist or your bartender or whatever works for you, that's okay. But you don't complain about your stuff to everybody because nobody wants to hear it. Everybody certainly doesn't want to hear it. There's a realistic awareness of hardships, but you never fixate on those things. You could be honest when you're struggling, but not allow your mouth to utter words of negativity about everything going on around them, because you know that what comes out of your mouth is always, always a reflection of what's going on inside of your heart. Remember that. That's really huge. Your mouth is a powerful instrument. Words can hurt. And we all know that. We've all had things said to us that hurt our feelings. But when so you want to speak good things. When your enemy tempts you to dwell on things that you don't have, defeat him by looking at the positive things in your life, okay? So complaining, never complain, no complaining, no whining, no bitching there. So we have comparing, we have complaining. The third C is competing, okay? Again, don't try to compete. For as long as we've known it, the old saying, got to keep up with the Joneses. The Joneses always get a boat, or they get a boat, I get a boat. They get a big TV, I get a big TV. They get a new car, I get a new car. Whatever the case is, they get a pool, I get a pool. Keeping up it's not a competition. It is you live your life the way you want to live it, the standards that you set, and stop competing with other people. What it actually does in competing is it puts you on an emotional roller coaster. You have to, you may be getting ahead. You may be falling behind. You may be even with them. But whatever you're doing, break out the Dramamine because you're up and you're down and you're up and you're down. And it causes peaks and valleys in your emotional state so that you're not as happy as you could be. The fourth C after comparing, complaining, and competing is controlling. Are you a control freak? Think about that. Are you a control freak? I am. I admit it. I readily admit it. I have control issues. I like being in control of the situation. But what I have learned to do over the past several years is not hammer on the fact, that I don't have control over everything. Okay? I'm not going to get worked up over something that I don't have control over. If I have control over it and can make a difference in it, then yes, I'm going to try and work through that. But if it's up to somebody else and I have no control and I have no influence and I have no say, I'm just not going to worry about it. And, if you have that control freak tendency, that's a turnoff to a lot of people, and that can sabotage a lot of happiness in your life. There's a prayer that's out there, or sign, whatever. It says, Lord, grant me the peace to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's a really cool thing. Grant me the peace to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Happier people understand that some things in life cannot be controlled, and I hope you do too. But they learn to let go of those things, as I was just saying. But here's the thing about letting it go. Once it becomes a reality, it only becomes a reality, I should say, when we grasp the truth at the moment we let it go, it's being taken control of by somebody else, okay? Whether it's somebody greater or somebody who's just in the know, okay, whoever has control of it. And whether, again, you get back to your God or, you know, the universe or whatever you believe in your faith, what has control of it, you just have to let it go and let whatever happens, happens, right? So we have four. We have one more left. We have comparing, complaining, competing, controlling, and the last one, and the most important one in my book, is criticizing. Criticizing can suck the life out of anybody. People who put other people down the most are the ones who are struggling the most within themselves. And that's true. I mean, I admit it. I've done the same thing. I think we all have at some point. But when I get in critical mode, when I start, you know, speaking badly of people to them instead of, you know, maybe thinking it or something, but, you know, it's mean when you're talking to somebody and you say that. But when I am criticizing or critical of other people, it's usually when I am at a low point, okay? And you're thinking, well, that's not my fault. It has to be somebody else's fault because I'm too good. I don't do bad things like that. So you start pawning that off on some other people, and they probably don't deserve it. But it's because you are at a low point. So once you get out of that low point and become happier and more positive, you actually stop criticizing. Happy people find the good in others and just as easily find it in themselves. So try, if you're having one of those critical days, criticizing days, you want to find something positive and you know, focus on that and let the negative bail out. So whether you're 14 years old or you're 104 years old, doesn't matter. It's not too late to transform the way you think. Okay? The things we speak about, the way we interact with people, affects a lot of people. I always get sad when I see, you know, parents chastising their kids in public, especially because obviously that's when I'm going to see them, is when they're in public. But and you see the kid's head droop to the ground. That's therapy right there. That's therapy sessions waiting to happen right there. A male and a female who are dating or in a relationship or married, and one is ripping the other one up in public. And, I mean, that's a form of verbal abuse. That's almost as bad or as bad as physical abuse. So choose your words carefully. Choose your tone carefully, especially, obviously, in public. If you're in private, you can deal with it one-on-one. But in public, you're embarrassing the other person, and more importantly, you're embarrassing yourself. Because other people are seeing you and hearing you and just realizing what a total jackass you are. And, you know, if you're doing it to a female especially and you're ripping her up in front of other people, somebody might just come over and knock your head off in defense of her. So just, you know, take it privately. Do it privately if you're going to do it. But better yet, just brush it off and move on. Everybody will be happier and better off for it. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for tonight. As I said, we're going to be just doing the 30 minutes tonight. We appreciate you joining us. Do make sure that you tune in next Thursday night. I think we're going to be talking about codependency, always a fun topic. And hopefully we will have a good, solid guest hostess. She might be codependent. We don't know. But make sure you join you check out the website. It's notmeradio.com. Like us on Facebook. Join us on Twitter. And, of course, all episodes are available now on iTunes, and all of those links are available on the website. Thanks for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. This is John, and you've been listening to It's Not Me, It's You. And, as always, peace out.